Welcome back to Silverlight TV. I'm John Papa, Silverlight Evangelist at Microsoft, and I've got another guest today, Tomasz from the WCF team.
That's correct. I'm a dev lead for the Windows Communication Foundation team.
Excellent. And today we're going to be talking about some options with WCF and networking. Specifically, the topic will be?
The topic will be duplex communication in Silverlight. I'll be talking about building a distributed chat application that allows multiple concurrent clients to exchange data asynchronously.
Excellent. So we'll be using WCF Polling Duplex in this particular example?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. So WCF Polling Duplex is a new protocol that has shipped in since Silverlight 2. In Silverlight 4, it has seen a major improvement, and we'll be using that to show how a server can push data asynchronously to the client application hosted in a web browser. So what I have here is a Silverlight application created in Visual Studio 2010. You see the web application project and the associated client Silverlight application. I've made two quick modifications, so before we start writing some code, let me go over those. I added references to System Service Model Pooling Duplex Assembly, which ships in Silverlight 4 SDK. This is the only server-side assembly in Silverlight 4 SDK. And I have also modified the client application to show some very basic UI that you're going to use in the rest of the presentation. So specifically, I have a stack panel with two text boxes. The first text box, messages, will be used to display the messages that the server pushes to the client.
Okay.
And the second text box, my message, will be used as an input field for the user to publish new messages to the server that will later be distributed to all other users that are concurrently connected.
Right.
To the server.
So when you type in my message, it should theoretically also pop back up on your screen as well as on your user's screens.
That's the expectation.
Okay.
Yes. So let's just quickly hit F5 to make sure that it all runs, and we'll have a look at how that UI looks like in the browser. So we've got that gray area that will contain the notifications, and a little text area underneath that allows me to type in my messages and send them out.
Okay.
So from here, the best way to get started, and just close this to avoid confusion, the best way to get started is to add a WCF service to the web application project. We do this by doing add new item, and there is a special template under Silverlight called Silverlight Enabled WCF Service.
Yeah, I love the big long name there.
Yes, but it's very descriptive, so we'll call it chat service.
And when you add this template, it's still the same as before, where it adds the web config settings, and it also adds the contract
Absolutely.
Attributes.
So what we see here is basically the stub of the chat service, which is a regular request response service. We'll modify it shortly. And we also have a number of entries in web config that we'll be modifying in a moment. Now, in the interest of time, I'm just going to copy and paste some code that I have on the side for the service contract and service implementation.
Okay.
I just want to save some time typing this in.
That's a lot of code, so I'm glad you're going to copy and paste here.
Yes. Well, we could break in for an ad, I guess. But let's do this. So let me just walk through this code really quick. Oh, synchronized collection is not resolved.
Okay, so we need to use it. So basically, you've got your contract. First, you've got an interface at the top. I like that too. I like that style.
Right. So let me walk through this really quickly. So chat service is the entry point, and this is the service as the clients will see them.
Mm-hmm.
It has two operations, subscribe and publish. Subscribe allows the client to connect to the service, and from now on, the server will remember that any messages published to the service
mm-hmm.
will have to be pushed down to that particular client that just connected via the subscribe method.
Okay.
The publish message can be used by a client to publish a new message to the service. The service, in turn, will turn around, and for all clients that have previously connected, it will just send a notification to them containing
okay.
the very same message.
So this the client will use publish to send the message to the server and then go to the other clients.
Yes.
And subscribe is what the clients will use to listen for the other
that's correct.
Messages.
Yes.
Okay.
So the chat service is a WCF duplex service, which means that it has a callback contract. Callback contract is defined using the iChat notification interface, which is up above here. The HR notification interface has just one method, notify, that the server will use to push messages to all the connected clients.
Is that what really defines a WCF polling duplex service, is using the callback contract and the attribute?
That's correct, yes. Okay. Of course, you have a choice of protocols you can use with duplex contracts. Right now, we'll be using just HTTP pooling duplex, but there are other options that we'll discuss later on.
Okay.
One important point to make here is that callback contracts compatible with Silverlight applications must be, all methods on callback contracts must be one way. Silverlight does not support two-way callback methods. So we've got that service declared. Now let's move to config. This is where we'll use the new HTTP pooling duplex binding. The current config is generated by the Silverlight-enabled WCF service. It has a long system service model section that we're just going to remove and replace with something that I already have prepared, again, in the interest of time.
And by default, I just put in a binary binding for you using custom.
That's
correct. You're going to replace all that with your polling duplex bindings.
Exactly. So the very first thing we do, we reference a new config extension that is implemented in that assembly that we just referenced, system service model polling duplex.
Okay.
We are going to use this newly declared element to create an instance of a new binding. We'll call it my polling duplex binding. The only difference with the default values of the properties of that binding is the duplex mode.
Okay.
And this is the change between Silverlight 3 and 4. This is the new mode we have added to greatly improve performance of that binding. Effectively, what it is doing, it's using HTTP response chunking to send multiple messages, to allow sending multiple messages from the server to the client using one HTTP response.
Okay.
And as a result, we can achieve about 75% of the throughput of net TCP binding.
Wow.
So this is
considerably faster than it was before then.
That's much faster. And lastly, we create two endpoints for our chat service. One is using the pooling duplex binding to expose the chat service contract itself. Another one is the MEX binding, which allows metadata to be obtained
right
from the service.
In the default one, we've got an address of blank, so you don't have to specify anything.
Absolutely. So let's just hit F5 and make sure that it still works.
It's always a good test.
Right. So this is the Silverlight UI that we've seen before. One thing we can do on top of that right now is just hit that chat service and see if we can get the metadata.
So this is where the MEX will come in for you as well.
Right. So this is the metadata, and you can see that the pooling duplex binding is represented in this section of the metadata.
So far we've created our service, and we've created our web config, and we've tested our service that it actually functions.
Yes. So now it is time to move to the client application and start using that service. So the first thing to do on the client side is to generate a client proxy to the chat service. So we right-click on chat demo, do add service reference, which is exactly the same mechanism you use in .NET clients. Mm-hmm. Discover, this shows up all the services declared in that solution. We'll change the namespace to chat service proxy.
I always get nervous when I add service reference. Even if I know it works, I hate to get that message here. I cannot find it.
Yes, this is I always hold my breath at that point too. So let's press OK and see what happens. So at that point, the add service reference feature is calling the chat service, obtaining the metadata and generating the client-side proxy. Let's move to code and actually start using this proxy. So this is the code behind the main page of the Silverlight application. Okay, so a few things I have to do. I'll be using service model and system.serviceModelChannels. We are using WCF after all.
Yep, standard namespaces.
Right, the proxy has been created in the chat service proxy namespace, so let's declare a member that will hold the client instance.
The chat service client, yep.
Which is the chat service client. And now let's initialize the client. There are 8 constructors to choose from. We'll use the one that takes a binding and an endpoint address. So in terms of the binding, we are going to use the new HTTP pooling duplex binding.
Okay.
Pooling duplex.
Which is not the default option, which is why we have to override this here.
Exactly. sheep pooling duplex binding, and the only modification we will make is from the default values of the properties of that binding is using the duplex mode of multiple, which is exactly the same change we've done on the server side, in the server side configuration
file. Right, config file. Your other option is a single message for poll. Why would you want to use single message if you were doing polling duplex?
Honestly, there is no good reason in SilverLight 4. The only reason we had to maintain it as a default is for backwards compatibility.
Compatible. Okay.
We also use a very new and convenient feature that we've had in SilverLight 4, which is relative addresses. Mm-hmm. Prior to SilverLight 4, one had to specify a fully qualified endpoint of the WCF service, which was not quite so convenient when later deploying that service to a different place.
You develop it on your developer machine, then you go and put it out to a staging or production machine, and you have to change your code.
Exactly.
It's not helpful.
Exactly. At this point, we can in SilverLight 4, we can specify a relative address, which is relative to the location of the ZAP file, the SilverLight ZAP file.
So by default in the client bin, we back up and go to the service.
Right. So our client is created. How do we receive the notifications from the server? Turns out that for every callback method we had declared on the callback contract on the server side, we actually have an event on the client proxy. So in this case, it is notify received.
Okay.
So we just hook up this event, and we will fill it in a second. One last thing we have to do after hooking up this event is to actually notify the server that a new client has appeared on the stage, and from now on the server should send notifications to it. So for that, we'll use that subscribe method, and we'll do it asynchronously.
Right, so the notify received is a standard event handler that's built into the polling duplex client that you're going to use, and that event's going to fire off whenever a new event has been received. But the subscribe async, that's when that has been created because you created that subscribe method back in the service, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
So basically by calling subscribe, the server the client notifies the server that from now on it should be forwarding any notifications back to that client.
Right.
And the notify received event will be raised whenever such a notification arrives on the client.
Okay.
If you remember my main page, there was an area down here that was meant to hold all messages that the server sent back to the client. It's called messages.
Right.
So what we will do is that when we receive a message, we'll actually add the text to that text area.
This that would be convenient.
Messages text. There are actually two cases for a notification. The standard event-based async pattern provides a notify received event args, which may actually indicate whether an error occurred while that notification was received or whether it's a legitimate message. So if an error occurred, the error property will be not null. And in that case, let's just display what that error is to the user.
We're actually going to do error handling on SilverLight TV. Awesome.
And otherwise, we'll just grab the message that is a property of those event args.
Right.
And display it. And this is it. So this is how you hook up notifications. Now, one last part is to allow the client to actually publish new messages to the service.
Sure. Right now, we're just listening. We have no way to communicate back.
Exactly. Right now, we're just listening. So to do that, we will define a key pressed, key down event handler on the My Message text box. So this is the little text box under the big text area where we display all messages coming from the server. So we define that handler.
Let it create it for us.
That'll create it for us. We go back to code, and now it's time to fill it in. So we'll say that if the key that the user pressed is enter, not end, enter, we're going to use the client proxy to publish the message that is already contained in this text box.
Sure.
And we are going to clear this text box to make it easy to write a subsequent message.
Make it a little user-friendly. Now I'm noticing here, too, that the publish async and the subscribe async also have completed events as well that we could subscribe to if we wanted to take some action after we publish the message, for example. Like to make sure the message got there.
Absolutely, yes.
I think you need another equals sign between the and the if
clause. You're right, yes.
There you go.
I was wondering where it was coming
from. Yeah, sometimes
from.
You just wait for the red line to go away, and it just
yes,
doesn't.
Yes, it doesn't. All right, so it compiles, so let's try to hit F5 and see how it works. So we've got one copy of the client application. Let us take this URL, open a different one in, let's say, Firefox for a change. So what we have right now is effectively two concurrent clients connected to the same WCF service.
Right.
And let's see if it works. Hello world. And that notification, as you see, appears in the other client.
Awesome. Hello there.
And that pretty much concludes the demonstration. So there's a big disclaimer around this chat application. You know, this is very far from any production quality code. Specifically,
sure.
It's missing a lot of fault handling on the server side. If you are interested in a more complete solution, you should probably look one up on my blog.
Okay, and we'll provide everybody a link to the blog post that you have that's going to be pointing to the more complete solution. And we've got some articles, too, on handling faults that we can point people to as well if we want
right.
to get to some more examples. So I really appreciate you showing this demo, and we also promised we'd talk a little bit about the networking possibilities that you have. So you've
yes.
got sockets, you've got...
So there are other mechanisms available in Silverlight which allow duplex communication. Specifically, there are sockets, there is UDP, and there is NetTCP protocol.
And some of these have restrictions where you can only use them in certain environments.
Yes.
Others you can use on the web at large.
Yes, and this is the primary consideration, that HTTP pooling duplex is the most versatile solution. It will work basically in any kind of deployment scenario, simply because HTTP is the prevalent protocol that will work
right.
across internet, across firewalls, and in virtually any network environment. Sockets and NetTCP protocol in WCF, first of all, are constrained by the port number the user can specify. And second of all, are subject to restrictions that any network intermediaries may impose on the network traffic. So they are not as versatile as HTTP. What I have seen many people doing is that they actually first try to use WCF NetTCP binding in Silverlight. And if that doesn't allow them to communicate with the backend, then they fall back on HTTP long pooling duplex.
And if it doesn't allow them, it's most likely because of port restrictions or firewalls.
That's correct,
right?
Yes.
Now, the socket side, it can generally be a little more complex and involved, too. The sockets actually requires a service on the server, a socket server, right?
That's correct. You know, the NetTCP protocol in WCF builds on top of sockets.
Right.
It's just the programming model offered by WCF sitting on top of that protocol makes it much easier
to
write these applications. Specifically, if we had more time, I could show how we can change this application to use NetTCP simply by changing the binding without touching a single line of code in the actual program.
So that's a good point. And we won't show it through here. Maybe we'll do another episode in the future. But all you'd have to do is change the web config to change the binding, and then also on the client, change the binding. Correct?
That's correct, yes.
And then you can have NetTCP. In this case, it will work as we're using. There's no firewall, no port restrictions
yes.
that we have.
There is actually one more consideration for using NetTCP, which is using sockets and therefore also using NetTCP requires the server to explicitly opt into this kind of traffic.
Right.
And this requires a special policy file to be deployed on the server. The socket policy can be obtained either over TCP port 943 or HTTP. It is
okay.
configurable at the socket level. At the level of the NetTCP protocol, we have decided to only expose the HTTP policy mechanism. So effectively, what you have to do to use NetTCP is to deploy a special client access policy XML file to the root of your web server.
Right, to the root web server, not the site.
Yes, web
so,
server.
Yes.
This is a per-machine policy.
Right. Great. I appreciate you coming on and sharing all this with us, and we'll provide several links, especially where to get the pooling duplex DLL where you added that in, just because we skipped that step earlier on. We'll point to your blog post with the more robust example and any other information you might have, and I hope to get you back on in the future.
Excellent. Thank you
very
time.
Much. And thank you for watching Silverlight TV.